Lord of our greatest fear, let in your peace. Lord of our darkest shame, let in your grace. Lord of our truest selves, our all, let in your fullness. Amen. Well, top of the morning to you. You may notice that our music today kind of has a Celtic flavor. So it's Lenten, but I couldn't let the opportunity for St. Patrick's Day to pass us up. We have to have something because this weather is not very spring-like, is it? I am very tired of winter, and I looked up online and saw that in Dublin today, in Dublin, Ireland, it is 41 degrees, much more spring-like. They're even getting rain, which to me is kind of a signal of spring. And when I woke up on Friday and saw that it was snowing and sleeting, it was very hard to get around God saying, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? From our Isaiah text today. It was very, very hard for me. I just thought, okay, God, what are you doing? And then I saw on the Weather Channel that the first day of spring, which is this week on the 20th, our high is supposed to be, anybody know? 22 degrees. Yes. Okay, God, what is this new thing you're doing? Because this seems pretty old. The winter has felt so long, hasn't it? And it's hard to believe that spring is actually coming to us. It seems to be coming everywhere else but here. And this weather has been coinciding with our Lenten season. And that has been, you know, a dark time and a wearying time as we kind of explore the deserts of our own souls and see where God is taking us. We're definitely ready for Easter and for spring sunshine, right? But we're only in the fifth week in Lent, the fifth Sunday in Lent, and our journey is not over yet. There are signs that we still need to perceive before Jesus' crucifixion and then resurrection must come. And one of these signs is in the story in our gospel today. We find that Jesus is attending a dinner that Lazarus, if you recall, who Jesus raised from the dead, Mary and Martha, you know their story, are giving in his honor. And if you think about it, it kind of seems to be a precursor to the Last Supper. It's kind of a farewell dinner. It's a little party. And Mary, at this party, anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume and wipes them with her hair. Kind of an interesting thing for a woman to do. And then the house, I thought this was interesting, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Think about that, how a fragrance just kind of permeates a place. It's a really significant image in this gospel. Because if you think about it, this is the same family that when Jesus went with Mary and Martha to Lazarus' tomb, they were really afraid of him entering in there because of the stench, because of the decomposing body. So here they go from death, darkness, a yucky smell, to this house that's filled with this beautiful fragrance because of Mary's costly act of love. She knew what was coming. She was actually listening to Jesus, unlike the disciples sometimes. It was the woman that actually got it. She understood that her anointing of Jesus had those positive repercussions throughout the house, just as our expression of faith and love for Jesus tend to spread widely about the community. She knew what was to come. And she wanted to do something about it. She wanted to show her friend how much she cared and how much she loved him. But the disciples were with them, and Judas, whom we know his story too, don't we? He could only sneer at what she did. In false piety, he asks why the perfume wasn't sold and given to the poor, as if he was really concerned about the poor. when really what he wanted to do was skim off the top of the profits of the perfume, because that's apparently what he did according to our evangelist. John, the evangelist, explains that Judas was a thief. He would steal from the common purse, and he did not really care for the poor. We also know that Judas plays the ultimate betrayal of Jesus, and I wonder how often we too play Judas's part. Because we have two very different responses to Jesus here in our gospel. Mary's response of the fullness of life in discipleship, she was really a true disciple. And then Judas's denial of that same discipleship. Judas wasn't following the Lord. And yet, each story kind of feels familiar, doesn't it? Inside each of us, because we are all comprised of both things. Remember those, some of you might remember those cartoons where there is like a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other? We each have a little Mary on one shoulder and a little Judas on the other. You know what I'm saying? That Judas that stops us from being extravagant with God's love because of arguments about practicality, which are often self-justifying. Those are hard. We talk ourselves out of being extravagant, of being fools for Christ. Thomas Merton once wrote, "This spiritual life is first of all a life. It is not merely something to be known and studied, it is to be lived." Thinking about life is not living. Thinking about how we would like to love Jesus is not necessarily loving Jesus, but Mary got it. Mary got it in our gospel today. She was the best disciple of all. She loved Jesus and was not afraid to show the abundance of that love, even though the others thought that she was scandalous and wasting a valuable resource. She was kind of a fool, really, wasn't she? Kind of like another person we know, kind of like Jesus. That extravagance of love that we have. He was foolish enough to know the possible fate ahead of him, and yet he still took that road to Jerusalem. So this morning, as we enter into our week before Palm Sunday, before the Passion, let us reflect together about that little Mary and that little Judas that live inside of us. I'm going to lead you through a brief reflection from the Iona community. Iona, for those of you that don't know, is a little tiny, tiny island off the west coast of Scotland. It's actually off the west coast of another island called Mull. So in going with the St. Patrick's theme, the Celtic theme, we'll reflect from something from them. So at this point this morning, just get comfortable, not too comfortable where you're sleeping. I know some of you want to. Just get comfortable and close your eyes. Just listen to what I'm saying and think about those two pieces of yourself. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. In the quietness of this morning, we ponder the strange interweaving of the love of God with both human sin and human goodness. Sin and goodness write a story in each of our lives, in each of us, and in each congregation. Both Mary and Judas are to be found. But we know, too, that the love of God in Christ redeems it all. Therefore, in quietness, let us confront the Judas in us who could spoil everything and allow the Mary in each of us to find something, some beautiful thing to do for God. We'll have a few moments of silence. Think about your Judas and your Mary. Oh God, what can we do for you? O God, what we have purposed in our hearts, enable us to carry through. Silence the sensible disciple in us who would think it a waste. Silence the Judas in us who would begrudge the money and the effort. Nothing is too good for you, Lord. Nobody is too bad for you to love. May we individually and our church as a whole be known for the extravagant love which makes us fools for Christ's sake. In your peace, we go to our homes. In your love, we will take our rest. In your light, we rise to follow you afresh. Amen.